day and age. But I digress. Oddly enough, Hugh Hefner, playboy, activist, and rebel, was made by a Canadian with Canadian tax dollars. Here the money is truly well spent, as we are engaged from start to finish in this neat look at a larger-than-life character who made a difference in the lives of millions for generations. Smart documentaries are not one side of a show opposing views. Feminists of the day reflect back on their opposition to Playboy and the lifestyle it allegedly promotes. Debates between Hap and some of these opponents are...
We have a report of a giant orange cat that seems to be devouring things left and right. For an on-the-spot report, we cut now to our mobile unit. What's that? We have a report. He just ate the mobile unit. I'm leaving town, folks.
These guys have been in the studio for about a week, and they already come out with this. This is the new Brastronaut, the track Opportunity. And though I'm always happy to see some good old local boys doing us proud overseas, I gotta be a little jealous for all of their fans over in Europe who get to hear all the new material first before us. But I guess in the words of Fred Armisen doing an impression of Joy Behar, so what? Who cares? That wonderful little impression brought to you by Jonathan Brown. Here's Shameless, courtesy of 101.9 FM CITR. Hope all you kids out there had an easy first day back at school. I know I had a nice little visit at Brown's Social House, followed up by a nice session of Dead Island. It's off to a good start so far, I think. With me here in the studio right now is a band that can be best described as being self-sufficient. In fact, that is the name they have chosen to call themselves. How's it going over there, lads?
Pretty good. How about yourself, Jonathan?
Pretty good, too.
Really appreciative that you're having us in here. We haven't really got a lot of chances to get our music, but hopefully this is the start of that.
So I've heard. We'll definitely be discussing this in great detail. And, well, thanks to you for coming out and hanging out in this nice, stuffy studio with me for another hour and a half or so.
Anytime.
As a matter of fact, you didn't invite me over to your home. What was it, yesterday?
Yes.
Not even, 2 days ago?
Yeah, 2 days ago.
We hung out. I watched you produce a track from start to finish.
Gave you some cake?
Yes, the cake. The cake was delicious.
The cake.
The water was fine.
Real cake.
It was real cake. Not enough can be said about the cake. Not enough.
We were going to call our band Cake, but we changed that after a while. It didn't really stick.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Yeah, Cake was already taken.
Really, a band calling themselves Cake? Yeah. It's preposterous. Yeah. Absolutely. How about a little round of introductions while we're all here and what you do?
I am Ryan Pennington, a.k.a. Plus Minus. I have, although you cannot see us, I have my drummer here, Patrick Sharp, a.k.a. Indigo Ruptritis, to my left, and the first member of the band are myself, beside me on to my right, Riley Hansen Rook, a.k.a. Space Case.
Space Case.
And not with us,
Thelonious Fabdul. Yeah, we got a member missing in action. We're going to play a song especially for him coming up a little later in the broadcast.
No a.k.a. for Mr. Thelonious?
Well, with us, we've kind of had to... I'm trying to get our nicknames in cycleation for the three of us, but Thelonious' actual name is Fabian, but we always found that Thelonious kind of just stuck with him, and so it feels more natural. We gotta build up the nicknames for us, but for him, it kind of just already stuck when we met him. He already had it before we met him, whereas I came up with the names for the rest of us.
He is the Superman of your Justice League. The alias is the actual character.
Yes.
Interesting.
He's also working, so we don't have to.
Yeah, he's our sugar daddy.
This is work, in its own way.
Yeah.
This is the work that counts.
You make it fun, though.
I try. But we also got some words from Thelonious a couple days ago when we were hanging out. Got some chickadees in the background. We'll be hearing from that.
Excellent.
And a few tracks of yours. Quite a few. As many as possible.
All right.
I'm thinking we might start off with this one. From that first fateful email you sent me, including your demo of Hourglass. I heard it. I loved it. Here it is.
what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
You're listening to Shameless here on 101.9 FM, CITR, broadcasting out of the Hall of Learning, that is the UBC campus, here in Vancouver, British Columbia. In that lovely set, we had some Diamond Dancer off their latest EP, Will You, the track Lost in Echo Park, from right here in Vancouver. And what you just heard was some Other Voices, which is a track of very significant passion, interest, love of the band here with me right now, Self-Sufficient.
Our member missing in action, Thelonious, that was for him.
And I bet he loved it. Yeah. If he's not listening right now...
Well, he'll get to listen to it forever. I'm videotaping this, so it'll be archived forever. You'll get some camera time too, Jonathan. You're on the radio all the time and nobody gets to see you, so...
Yes, I do look like this in real life.
You'll be a YouTube star too.
I'm coming after that teenage dream kid. I got his number.
You get him, Rock!
So, Self-Sufficient, how's it going over there? How you doing?
Excelente. Yeah, really, really happy to be in here, and you're a very accommodating host, so we appreciate that.
Well, I try. I really appreciate the struggle, the up-and-coming Self-Sufficient DIY process.
We've been putting in the work. Yeah, it's just a matter of getting our stuff out now, so that's what this is hopefully going
to
do.
How did it all start for you? How did you decide to form a band, and how did you form this band?
Well, actually, I was when I was about 14, 15, I was in a band with, some people might know, Petroleum Byproduct. They're a local band around here in Vancouver, and I was in a band with Robin, the drummer for that band. He was drumming for us. He actually started drumming in our band. The band didn't last too long. It lasted about 3 months, and then I basically waited a long time, basically until I was about 19. I looked for people in between, but it was really hard to find people that were dedicated. There was people that liked the type of music I was into, which is, you know, more obscure than what a lot of people listen to, but it's just that it was really that dedication thing. I was willing to play whatever. Anyways, meet Riley when I'm 19, and... that was when things started to get going in terms of Self-Sufficient. I kind of had the concept in my head, but it didn't feel like a band or that it was anything more than a concept until I met Riley. And then it was kind of weird. We kind of had like year intervals where nothing would happen, and then a kind of a big step. Like me and Riley kind of tinkered with sounds and stuff like that for about a year, and then we met Thelonious, and then we worked as a three-piece and we played our first show. Which was, you know, somewhat more difficult because, you know, some of our songs are like 8 minutes. And, you know, so I was basically the timekeeper. So that was an interesting experience. We're all multi-instrumentalists and singers. But yeah, then we met Patrick, who's been playing drums for quite some time. And the difference is phenomenal to have that. He kind of added, I guess, that missing, I don't know if I'd necessarily call it rock element, but it kind of gave the songs dry, whereas there was a lot of ambience before. Now it's kind of more balanced, I guess.
You were rocking the drum machine previously.
For some tracks, we didn't really use the drum machine much. We used it because we kind of wanted to start integrating drums into our songs. I'm like, well, if we can't find a drummer, then we'll just use it. And that was what we used for Unstoppable, a demo we haven't done yet. We're going to be doing this weekend. But yeah, in comparison to a drumming machine and an actual drummer, there is no comparison. And on top of that, like I said, Patrick's a phenomenal drummer.
He offers up good advice too. The drum machine never could.
Yes, he is a drumming machine, a human drumming machine.
So, just out of curiosity, I've forgotten Thelonious's thoughts on your first show. What was the first show like for you?
It was an interesting experience because we were playing with Supernova and. I don't really want to badmouth. We just kind of had a negative experience in the sense we got to play our songs, but we were kind of rushed out on set. There was supposed to be a band before us, and so each band had 30 minutes setup time, whereas we were given 2 minutes because the band that was supposed to play didn't. So, you know, we were told, okay, you got 10 minutes, right, which is less than the 30, and then they come in a minute later, okay, 5, and then a minute later again, they say, okay, you're on. So we had to tune up on stage and stuff like that, but I think considering the circumstances, other than that, the show went really well. Once it was time for us to do our job, we did it, and everyone enjoyed it. There was kind of a lot of blank stares because there was a big mix of people because it was a battle of the bands, and, you know, people's parents were there and stuff like that, and there was younger people too from the bands, but you know, at the end everyone was coming up to me and they said they were fairly impressed, and I got some comments. Riley, his stage attire is a house coat, So yeah, we got some comments on that. I went around asking for the guy in the house coat, so we're easily identifiable. I'll try and nudge Riley to start wearing his house coat everywhere he goes. So, you know, if you see the guy in a house coat, just go, hey, that's either the guy from Big Lebowski or that's Riley from Self-Sufficient.
Or Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, perhaps.
Yeah.
Just need a towel and a nervous look.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's nice to have a house, like, well, not necessarily house coat, but just something, you know, something identifiable, because, well, bands need to have some sort of personality, I think, when they're playing, and then people can latch onto that, and they go, oh, hey, it's that guy, like Ryan was saying, and so I think that's a good thing. Not to mention, it actually feels kind of freeing to wear the house coat as well, because it's almost like I'm taking a step out of my everyday everyday attire.
He becomes a character. He can see himself in the third person.
It's breezy down there.
Yes.
I'm a firm believer there's not enough things in Vancouver bands to identify with, not enough characters.
Well, for me, you know, I want our band to be mostly about the music. Like, I was into the punk scene for a while, and some of our stuff is more post-punk and new wave oriented, but I was into, you know, a lot of the heavier sounds and stuff like that, and I kind of got out of it. And one of the things that kind of bothered me was that, you know, there was always like an image attached. It's like you had to look or dress a certain way, and it's kind of like they conform to the non-conformist, you know, like I think there's a balance between, you know, including people and then having to look a certain way. Like, it, at the end of the day, regardless of talent or skill level or how you look or whatever, it should be about the music. You know, music's a feeling.
I'm a firm believer that talent will keep you going.
Yeah.
The Wizards, their favorite band of mine, also wear house coats.
Excellent.
I feel inspired to play some later. But first, I think we need more of you in the show.
Yes,
more
we
self-sufficient.
Do. We could always use more self-sufficient. Coming from an unbiased perspective.
Which track are you thinking?
Threads of Fate.
Might there be a story behind this one?
This was the first song we wrote as a four-piece. A lot of our stuff we basically patched together. We forced Patrick to learn them at gunpoint, and then this one we wrote together, so it had a different feel, and I think it's one of our best tracks. It sounds phenomenal.
Nice.
In my humble opinion.
friendship would be mutually beneficial. They were careful to be seen together in all the local fast food franchises. He had a stylized speech pattern. She used all the newest slang. When they talked on the telephone, they had trouble generating conversation stimulus. They programmed arguments into their relationship to make their lives seem meaningful. They could act really mad, happy, or even sad, according to the current prefabricated social circumstance. They had copied all aspects of their behavior from what they had observed in society. At the school dance, they were careful to exhibit only behavior which had been approved by their peer group.
Ego complex, insecurity syndrome. Ooh yeah, they were really going good.
Pretending to be drunk while the local popular radio station played the newest pre-designated youth-oriented top 40 hits, he was decapitated in an explosion of flame and glass fragments. Her body was found crushed into the dashboard. A Minicam report described them as fine youngsters. They never got a chance to fulfill their career dreams. They were killed in an auto wreck while driving to and fro. After drinking two beers, he was pretending to be drunk while the local popular radio station played the newest pre-designated youth-oriented top 40 hits. He was decapitated in an explosion of flame and glass fragments. Her body was found crushed in the dashboard. A Minicam report described them as fine youngsters. They never got a chance to fulfill their career dreams. We'll be right back.
playing 30 Lives, 30 Fests this Friday. That is Vancouver's own Sorcerer Supreme, the Wizards at the Cobalt, with their track Aim for the Ground and Miss. You're on Shameless 101.9 FM, CITR in Vancouver. I'm talking here with self-sufficient about antics, good and bad. I think we can all agree that house robes are to be appreciated.
Yes,
indeed.
Or cloaks. Also good.
We're working on that. I'm actually probably going to start wearing a spacesuit pretty soon.
I'm working on my meat jacket.
Yeah.
Weird acoustics inside of a space helmet, too.
Yeah.
For singing purposes.
Yeah.
One guy who I thought was a wizard when I met him was Thelonious. How's that for a segue? Oh.
It sounds like a very...
Jonathan's a smooth operator.
A smooth operator.
Thelonious sounds like quite a fantastical name.
For a wizard alone.
Yeah. He's a keyboard wizard.
And I had the pleasure to chat him up when I was, you know, hanging out with you all day. Perhaps too long. Didn't want to wear out my welcome.
You'll never leave. You're our hostage.
I'll be back.
We have you now.
And this is what I got out of him. Among the chickadees. So, Thelonious, how's it going?
It's going well. It's going well. Yeah, I just woke up, but I'm feeling good. I'm really excited about having you here, and we've been working on these demos. It's really nice because before we were recording only on a camera, right? And so that's all we've ever had to show people, our music. But now it's great to finally have some high quality recordings to send out to people and, you know, to play on radio and such. And yeah.
So how did you get involved with Self-Sufficient?
I got involved in Self-Sufficient through Craigslist, actually. We all met through Craigslist, each band member. You know, my background, I've taken, piano lessons for about 10 years. I, you know, taught myself guitar. I've taken singing lessons, but I never really had anyone to play with. Last year, I was always just doing my own thing, you know, in my house, just recording my own stuff. And I really always wanted a band like this where we can just kind of be ourselves and make our own music. It's a really freeing experience, you know?
And how did you come by this fine recording space?
This space? Well, my parents actually own this place, and so we rent it from them. We're trying to get a better space. We've been promised a nice soundproof space to record in, which hopefully we'll be getting within the year. And that's going to make things a lot easier, you know, because we'll be able to play and record at any time. Right now we have a pretty strict schedule. Like we do 2 to 6 Saturday, Sunday, Monday. For the recordings we've got out of here, you know, it's not bad, you know. It doesn't really sound like it was recorded in the basement, which is nice.
Always invest in some foam, maybe?
Yeah, we could use some foam. Foam would be great, actually. Especially to keep out the rodents, too. They're getting in.
So let's talk about some influences for a second.
Sure.
You learned piano. Does piano ever play a role in your musical processes?
Yeah, piano and jazz piano especially. I played jazz a lot. So I used to play in like this duo with my friend Ridley. Have you ever heard of the band The Oz? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Me and him go way back, and we used to write all these other kind of prog rock influenced tunes. Like my main influence besides jazz is prog rock, like Yes and Pink Floyd and early Genesis, Uriah Heep, you know, a lot of other things like Tangerine Dream, all these other really kind of, yeah, just the music they create is very, very free, you know, it's just very outside the box. I just like that stuff, you know. But also, I listen to a lot of other things, you know, my guitar, I haven't played as much guitar lately, but my guitar, I guess, was more of a classic rock influence. But lately, it's been kind of, the interesting thing about this band is that the sound we create, it's all kind of, we're playing off each other's influences, you know? A lot of the other band members, you know, like Ryan's introduced me to a lot of new music since I've been living with him. We live here together, right? And, you know, I wasn't really listening to a lot of pop music before. I didn't really have much time for it, but Ryan showed me a lot of the good stuff, and so that's kind of opened up my musical horizon a bit, you know? I still listen to a lot of prog rock, though. It's definitely my main thing.
How you interpret music definitely differs from person to person, I've noticed.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. But, you know, I think that's a good thing.
I also spotted the Pink Floyd poster up in the living room. Nice.
Yeah, I love Floyd.
Painted on the backs of some fine ladies.
Absolutely. I think it's the marriage of two perfect things, naked ladies and Pink Floyd, right?
I never knew Piper at the Gates of Dawn looks so nice as a cover in the back of a lady.
I know, right? It looks great.
So you guys have been together since around 2009 or so?
Yeah. Well, Riley and Ryan have been together. I joined, I believe it was late August, about a year ago. As soon as I joined, I had to go away to Ontario for a few weeks. And but as soon as I came back, you know, like we started actually, we were a six-piece back then. We had these other members, and they left within a few weeks. But we stuck together, you know, I mean, and then we found Patrick, obviously, and then things really started cooking, you know.
How's it been getting shows in the big city?
Shows have been difficult. We've played one show, which was through Supernova. That was before we had Patrick, so it was just as a three-piece. And, you know, that went really well, despite, you know, it was kind of hectic. I mean, we show up, and then they say, okay, we were supposed to be on third, and I said, actually, the other band didn't show up. You guys are on second. You're on in 20 minutes. We go, okay. So we go backstage. Literally, like, 1 minute later, they're like, okay, you guys are on in 5 minutes. I go, okay, well, whatever. And then quite literally, not even a minute later, like 15 seconds later, like, you guys are on now. Go, go. I'm like, okay. But, you know, despite all that, it was a good show. And but that was in late May, and we haven't been able to play any shows since because they provided the gear for that show, and we really need to upgrade our gear. We're kind of lacking in that the equipment department. We've got good instruments and such, just our amps are too small. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got 15-watt amps, need to upgrade.
Would that play in the origin of the name self-sufficient?
Absolutely, yeah. It's all about being self-sufficient. Like, it's the whole... Like it's the band, it's like it's more of like a... almost like a way of life or an idea than a band. It's like the goal really is for us to become 100% self-sufficient, you know, and that's why we're doing this now. You know, we were going to go into a studio and get some demos made, but we thought, you know, why not? We can do it ourselves, and, you know, it's worked out so far pretty good, I would say. Mm. Yeah.
And finally, what do you see for the future of self-sufficient?
I see us hopefully ruling the world one day. And completely changing the face of music and the way people look at music, I think. That's really my goal. Just, music to people right now is like, it's such a, they think of it as like a commodity. Like, it's not, like, to me, it's just, music is like life energy. It's about music, you know, popular music nowadays. It's like a, you know, it's like an iPhone or something. There's a new product every year, and, you know, no one really takes the time to listen the intricacies of all the things that artists put into music. I really want to change that. I want to change the way people look at it. I want people to actually appreciate music like I do. And I think self-sufficient is the best way to do that.
One gig at a time?
One gig at a time, you know?
Well, it's sounding pretty good in there.
Well, thanks.
Shall we get back in?
Let's do that.
Thank you. Midweek Roots Music Fix every Wednesday evening with Folk Oasis, featuring the latest releases from Canadian and especially BC artists, as well as phone interviews and live studio sets with local and touring artists. Folk Oasis, two eclectic hours of roots music, always a Kumbaya free zone. Wednesday evenings from 8 to 10 p.m. on CITR FM 101.9. and www.citr.ca.
Hanging out on this lovely Wednesday afternoon here in Vancouver. You're listening to Shameless on 101.9 FM CITR in Vancouver. And we got a band here in the studio by the name of Self Sufficient who brought you that last set. I don't know if you recall what we played, but let me tell our listeners.
That last song that I just played, that was Elephant Stone by the Stone Roses. That was a particular demo that was thrown together by Peter Hook of New Order. That one's a little rare to find. There's like 10 different versions of that song that I've noticed, but that's one of my favorite versions, so yeah. The other one, refresh my memory.
That was you.
Yes.
You live.
Okay, I forgot what we sound like. that's how good we are. It kind of just confuses us for other great bands.
Well, this version of Unstoppable featured a drum machine instead of your drummer.
Yeah, that was right before we met Patrick. That's Unstoppable. That's the demo we're going to be doing this weekend. We have a version with Patrick drumming, and the only reason I played that version instead of the one with Patrick is because you can't hear the bass at all, because like you just heard, that was a live recording through a camera, which is obviously the difference between sound quality from the other tracks that were played by us earlier today. So yeah, that's the difference. That's what we sounded like before, and now we've sat down, and our recording process now, instead of me hitting a button on a camera, I have a GNX4 Digitech guitar workstation, and Riley uses it for his live sound, but I'm using it to multi-track us. We have a mixing board that Thelonious' friend gave us from another local band called The Oz, Ridley of The Oz. He gave us a free PA system and mixing board. So I use that. I plug in for the drums because they require a couple more mics than any of the other instruments. So we kind of get one by the bass drum, one between the snare and the hi-hat, and the other one by the toms. So the drums kind of have their own track, so they're not mixed as well as we would like. We're going to be getting better equipment to deal with that. But everything else, the bass and the keyboard, that stuff's plugged in directly, and then I mic up the guitar amp. And I don't really like doing it, but it seems to work best just for these demos and what I have to do with the EQ and stuff to record the vocals directly in as well. So yeah, sometimes I have to do things to turn them up and try to get it into the mix. But if there's any record labels out there that want to have us in the studio, we'll be more than happy to oblige.
How meticulous of a process is it to record things track by track? Because you got the guitars on one, and then you just listen to it over again, minus the guitars, I guess, and then try and get the sound you're looking for.
Well, the thing is, the most frustrating aspect of it is basically getting the raw tracks. Ironically, I find like I have to go through a process for the mixing as well. It's a bit frustrating. I have to burn my ears out because I listen to it over and over and over again. I kind of get like an obsessive compulsive disorder when it comes to mixing this stuff. I have to finish it and it has to sound good. I send stuff off to other members and other people to listen to kind of give me feedback. The raw tracks are basically the hardest because when you're playing, you hear on the headphones, you're listening on the headphones for reference. Patrick's pretty good at keeping drums. He goes first, and that's our time. But sometimes the instruments, when you play them, they're not as loud as when you hear them back. So you'll have the instruments that are already played basically screaming in your ear, but with what we're playing, it can't be heard in the mix. So that's really the most difficult process of getting a perfect raw track. But once we got it, it's like, okay, I throw it into FL Studio. I've just started learning it, so I'm still, there's, for each new demo, I kind of reach another peak level of just mixing it just a little better. It's a hard process to get all the instruments mixed in there because they're all recorded in different ways and, you know, through a guitar workstation. I don't think it was really built for that purpose, but that's what we do and that's what we have available, so I make the most of it. I'm Ryan Pennington and I solve problems.
A lot of bands like to embrace the raw sound that their equipment allows them to produce. Joy Division would be probably the biggest example. You can think
Love
of.
Joy Division.
Do you think you might pull a Trent Reznor in a few years and go back and remaster your work and think, you know, this is how I intended it to come out?
Definitely. I mean, as a musician, I'm really hypercritical of myself. I don't really think there's anything anyone else could say about our music that would kind of bother me more than I bother myself about it. Like I said, when I'm mixing, I try to balance my expectations between I want everyone to get the feeling that, you know, this is our band, and I don't want us to be limited by our equipment in terms of our sound and what people will think of us. But I do my best to go over things, and I kind of lost my train of thought, sorry. But, yeah.
I don't think a song ever stays finished.
Yeah, it's something as a musician, it's, like, You're creative. You're always trying to perfect it. Sorry, I interrupted you, Space Case. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's I find that music, it usually takes a lot of emotion to coming out with a really great song and to be able to actually help other people feel that emotion as well. Like, I think music is more than just sound. I think it's art, and art is imagination, which is always changing. And so I think, at least for me, 20 years from now, I think, I think I will be going back, and I'll be looking at things, and I'll be, and I'll be going, hey, this might sound better with something else, or
you mind if I just chime in here?
Yeah.
Sleeping with Shadows was a good example. We actually didn't have keyboard originally before we did the demo, but Riley thought that some keyboard would fit well, and so that's kind of an instance. You know, on the day we're supposed to record the demo, and this is kind of the one saving grace of painstakingly doing the process at our own place. We don't have to worry about someone telling us, okay, you got this much time, and you know, we're going to have to, you know, take everything out of your pockets, basically, in order to do that new idea you just came up with. So he wrote keyboard specifically for the demo, and it works well. We do it live, but, you know, we only got so many members, and that's kind of why I tried to put the band together, because, you know, it's nice. I think we could all kind of do our own thing separately, but there wouldn't really be a practical way of reproducing it live. And it always helps, you know, the more brains there are working on it, the more creativity you can pull out of the process, whereas it's hard. I don't want to just have good guitar in a song or good lyrics. Like, I want to have everything. Like, I with recording in a basement, I try to balance my expectations between, okay, I'm trying to sound as good as we can, and we're recording in a basement. So I got to balance my expectations. But again, yeah, I am hypercritical of myself, but I'm very encouraging to the other band members most of the time when I don't have to, you know, threaten to kill them and stuff like that. We meet threats of violence if we can't get our recording parts and stuff like that, and that usually helps things along.
It's a good motivator.
Yeah.
But my style is that, hey, 20 years later, you want to come back here and do the show over again? Remastered, if you will.
I'll come on week, man. I'll come on every week if you'll have me.
I'd be down for that.
For now, shall we take a little trip to Bermuda?
Sure. This is a relatively new band. They're called Kisses. And I really enjoy some of their more... It's more synthy pop, for lack of a better expression at this moment.
Very nice. On what station?
101.9 CITR Radio with Jonathan Brown. JB all the way.
Oh, yeah!
Beautiful. Or, failing that... Any other tracks you'd like to hear? As if, you know, perhaps this particular track may not work?
Let's put on Gaze. They were a local Vancouver band. I don't think they're together anymore, but for all the Vancouverites out there, this is something you probably missed, but you'll be able to hear it now. Roll it, Jonathan.
How do you spell that?
G-A-Z-E. Yes.
Beautiful.
Hide so else being fully obvious.
Of CITR and receive great discounts at businesses around Vancouver.
Your Friends of CITR card will net you discounts downtown at 212 Productions, Beat Street Records, Blim, Dream Apparel, The Fall Tattooing, Heart and Soul Clothing Incorporated, Hits Boutique, Pacific Cinematheque, Scratch Records, True Value Vintage, Vinyl Records, and Zoo Shop.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To find out more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or visit us online at citr.ca.
A better song to end this night I could not think of. Not just because it's called Rainbow on Shameless 101.9 FM, CITR. Mr. Ryan Pennington, who was that?
That was, the band is called Twisterella. They got their name from Ride, an indie band that originally played out of the UK. The song's called Rainbow.
Awesome.
Well, they're from Indonesia.
Interesting. Oh, nice. I don't really branch out as far as I should in terms of world music.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing that to my attention.
Yeah, no problem.
Well, self-sufficient. It's been a pleasure to have you all here.
It's been a pleasure being here, man.
Thanks. Definitely. Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Glad to get to experience all of your music.
Patrick has something to say because he's been a mute this whole time. So, no, I'm going to jam the mic in your face.
You're going to
say
something, Patrick.
Man. I just wanted to say that I joined this band 2 months ago. It's been a great experience. Ryan had put out an ad on Craigslist looking for a curmudgeonly old man who plays tambourine. He was looking for an open human being and an open musician, and that's what I've been allowed to do with these guys. I just wanted a chance to say thank you to them and segue the first song that we ever played together. Was called Sleeping With Shadows.
And say happy birthday to Hillary, Patrick.
Oh yeah, Hillary.
He's avoiding, you know, his own girlfriend to come in and do this interview, you know.
Happy birthday, Hillary.
Okay.
And for this, I definitely predict more gigs in your future, this year especially.
Hopefully. Thank you,
Jonathan. Yeah, promoters out there listening, this is your last shot. Oh, you'll get more. You'll get more. Here it is, Sleeping With Shadows.
CITR.
Exactly. Self-sufficient. Stay tuned for Folk Oasis in 5 minutes.
this is my life. I wake up in the morning, I eat, I sleep, I shit.
Breakfast with the Browns.
So whatever it is, but I never shut it off for 5 minutes.
I can't wait to impress my friends with my astounding knowledge of cool.
Join your favorite Brownsters and tune in and listen to the best selection of down-tempo electropop lounge core.
Strictly Squaresville.
Remember, subtle, basic, brown.
Breakfast with the Browns
on CITR 101.9 FM every Monday morning
from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m.
The older I get, the more life starts to make sense and the less I care.
Now we're riding the rainbow, the clouds big, and we're making it like him. Now we're riding the rainbow to Cloudsville, and we're making it like him. Now we're riding the rainbow to Cloudsville.
You know, you can give 100 examples of what it isn't, but you, man, you're gonna have a hell of a time saying what it is.
Well-known pimp, narcotics king, big-time racketeer. Back in full force.
This could be one of the big moments in your life. Don't make it your last.
Look, this thing might be bigger than even we think it is.
Do you need an upgrade to the soundtrack to your life? Perhaps a song from a film or a tune from TV? My name is Gap. Exploding Head Movies is here to give you sounds from the cinema, along with the songs that will be defining your future, and those forgotten classics that need a little rescue.